Hi, I'm Daisy.
Hi, I'm David.
And we're the MSA Crusaders.
Hello there. We're here with another episode of MSA Crusaders. And today we have Ryan Shaver here, a PT, physical therapist, and we're going to be talking with him. So first of all, Ryan, go ahead and Ryan and introduce yourself and let us know what you do.
Well, my name is Ryan Shaver. I'm a physical therapist assistant, and I have been doing it for about 8 years now. I really enjoy what I do. It's very it's very rewarding, to be able to help people, to help them get to a place that they can live, a good quality of life. It's not always where they want to be, but they can live a happy, functional life by helping. And the thing is when I always wanted to be a doctor. Didn't feel like I was smart enough, I guess. And I thought, I had experience with PT. I did a shadowing thing with a PT just to see, so I kind of liked that. But life went on, and later in life, I decided, you know what, I needed a job, so I started working as a PT tech. And it was just a job. It was just being with people. I was really shy. I didn't really talk to people, and I just thought of it as a job. It's not what I wanted to do. And one day, I had an experience with a patient. She had had an amputation of her below knee amputation because of an infection, and she wouldn't do anything with us on the first day. She was just like lights out. Completely depressed, completely defeated, felt like there was nothing more to life. Second day, same thing. But the third day, we walked in there and it was like, we said, we want to get you just to try to stand on this walker on your one leg. And it was like a light turned on, and immediately she stood and realized, like, you know what, I can do this. I want to do this. And so we was actually able to get her to, this is an older lady, hop with a walker to the door and back. And that made such an impression on me. I thought our encouragement, our lifting them up, that is what I want to do in my life. So I started back to school and finished my PTA and been working in an outpatient, and I love it. I love people.
Awesome. But Ryan, you're very motivating. You have a very motivating and inspiring way about yourself.
Yeah, we need to get Ryan to be a motivational speaker. I mean, I hear all types of good from this gentleman. Absolutely.
So not only do I get physical therapy, but I get counseling too.
Yep.
Now, Ryan, do you do occupational too, or is it just physical? I hear to both of those, but I don't know if they're intertwined at all.
So I do PT, and PT can treat every part of the body. We focus more on, walking and standing balance and stuff in clinics and stuff, but I can treat anything as far as upper extremities and stuff, whereas like an occupational therapist, we work together. They can do like balancing exercises and standing, yet doing functional tasks with their upper extremities, doing activities of daily living, washing their clothes, taking care of themselves. But as far as treating a body part, I can treat any body part.
Excellent. We're told in MSA is so comparatively similar to Parkinson's,
Yes.
how it affects the body just quicker and worse. That exercise is key to longevity of being able to move. Exercise, exercise, exercise.
Absolutely.
And like you helped me with my knees, how stiff I was with my knees when.
Yes. So yes, so like it's very important to like mobility. Okay, this is my thing. With any of my patients, I'm like, mobility, move as much as you can, even when you don't feel like it. I'm I'm fairly healthy and I have no problem getting up and down out of bed, but I just, I can lay in bed all day Saturday and then wake up with my back hurting or something like that. That's because I'm not moving. With all my patients, I go back to that. There's an old commercial about a drug, and it said, a body in motion stays in motion. And so it's like, well, then a body that's not in motion has no motion. So it's so important to move, to stretch, to put yourself in positions that they're going to be uncomfortable, but it's going to strengthen. It's going to not strengthen. It's going to lengthen the muscles and keep you from being all stove up. And you, when you do walk, you're not walking in that Parkinson's style gait, which is like bent at the ankle, bent at the knee, bent at the hip.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key like thing you see with Parkinson's.
Yeah, I used to be like that. You helped me get out of that position.
Mm-hmm.
I was bad. Knees bent.
Ryan, do you tell Daisy to swing her arms when she walks?
Sometimes she's been having to use the walker when she does walk. So it's kind of hard to swing her arms, but I try to express exaggerated movements. When we walk in the pool, I'm like, big steps. I want you to do really big steps.
Giant steps,
like exaggeration, because it's easier to draw a patient back from a wider gait or would you say a step length, then to bring them to a point and try to bring them farther. So if you exaggerate it, and then you can teach them to bring it, just don't do it so far. And then start to do a regular gait. That's typically with Parkinson's that is.
Are there specific exercises and techniques that you can use to help improve coordination and reduce the risk of falls in individuals with MSA?
Yes. So of course, just standing is a very good thing for balance. It as a start, getting yourself up, just standing in the regular stance and progress it to putting your feet together. And then progress that to trying to, I'll tell my patients, okay, all right, I want you to close your eyes because it's going to change the whole thing. So I'll say, close your eyes. And then you see them instantly, just waving. Well, that gets better. Then you can have them open their eyes and push on them a little bit. We call it perturbations, and get them to learn how to catch themselves. So they're in a position where they almost fall. They can catch themselves because you taught them to do that. And then you can change the surface that they're standing on to a pad that gives, like they're walking on gravel. You're basically trying to do functional things that's going to help that patient at home or in public.
David and I are familiar with that stance, aren't we, David?
Yeah, no. When he says close your eyes, yeah, me trying to walk in the dark in the room or like in the middle. When I get my munchies after I take my medicine, I'm trying to walk in the nighttime. Is the worst thing I do. My wife's probably cussing me out at nighttime, but I hit everything, I tap everything, I fall into everything. I'm just trying to get to the refrigerator,
Well, in that case, I usually tell a patient, get you a nightlight. Not a super bright, just something that can show some, where you can see some things and you don't bump into them so easily. Just a little small nightlight will make a huge difference. If you don't want to turn on the light and wake up someone.
Yep.
We don't want to be adding falls if we don't have to, David.
Yeah, I hate waking her up or making noises, but man, when somebody in the state gets up, it's not a get up and it's like, oh, I lean to the left of it. It's like get up and I do a 90-degree dip to the left, hit my head on the table or like that.
Yeah, that's not good.
It don't feel like we're standing up straight though when we're trying to stand up straight.
Never.
Timber, what strategies do you employ to address pain management in MSA patients?
Again, mobility. Just like with anyone, if you aren't moving those joints, they're going to get stiff. But it's even more vital for someone with a neurological condition, because it's going to be a totally different situation because of the signals being interrupted from the brain. You know, the signals don't move as fast, and so they're gonna get tight quicker. They're gonna get not just down really a lot faster because they're not moving. But you get them up, even sitting on the side of the bed, standing, doing your home exercise programs that you're prescribed. It's important. It really is, because like without physical therapy, yes, we do these certain exercises, but these things that you can do at home, if you do them at home in conjunction with what we do in the clinic, you're going to see more of an improvement, and they're going to progress better. Sometimes, you know.
Daisy, you about killed me when you said pain management. Reminded me when I went to my doctor and asked for the first time in my life I've asked for pain medicine because of the sclerosis and contraction of muscles and the nerve pain. And he's like, sure, yeah. He agreed to it. We started this limited volume of medicine. And then he's like, by the way, would you like to see a pain management doctor? I was like, he made me get a smile because I'm sitting with MSA, my brain's dying, right? I'm sitting there like,
yeah.
I asked him, I said, is there something a pain management doctor can actually give me for something like, but besides medicine, right? Because you can't get MSA better at all, ever.
Right.
I guess he was probably just so used to saying that question in general, you know?
Oh, for sure.
We were talking about that the other day. David and I were talking about we can get better, but we cannot going to get better.
A lot of it's in this. This is going to sound kind of bad, but some of it's kind of like a Band-Aid, you know, just to kind of get you through. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quality of life is so important. Yes, you have this disease, and you know it's terrible, and there's no cure for it, but do you have to live in agony until the time comes? No. I mean, you can keep yourself, you know, just doing exercise or just movement, getting up, moving around as much as you can until you're unable to. But even then, doing certain things just to kind of keep yourself from just lying there and just deteriorating.
Yeah. And we've seen that. One of those, what I called mountain the other day, David, the peaks.
Peaks and valleys.
Peaks and valleys, you know. I've been on a peak fairly for a little while now.
Yes, you have.
David, about me walking on the treadmill underwater.
Yeah.
Doing step up, step down at the end of the treadmill.
Not having to hold on to a floating device to keep her balance. She really doesn't need my help in the pool. That's, you know, because I would just be there just in case. If she was a flip and fall, she couldn't get herself up out of the pool. She couldn't. No. And so I would be there to basically keep her from falling under and drowning. You know, it sounds crazy, but of course, there's sometimes, you know, get her on the side and a stretch or, you know, her guidance and tactile cueing to help her to correct her form, you know, not walk crunched over like an old person, you know.
But Ryan literally had to hold on to me before when I first started, and give me a noodle to hold on to, or like a little pole with some styrofoam things on, and then we call it a swimming pool walker.
Yep, that's right.
But.
So basically, Ryan's a miracle worker, is what you're trying to say.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say that.
He's pretty awesome.
I do love doing what I do. And if I can change somebody's life, even just a little bit. I mean, I had this one experience. I know this is kind of off subject, but I had this patient when I worked in a hospital, a local hospital, a rehab, and she was in there. And she was just struggling. She had broken her hip, and she was younger. And You know, I worked with her. She did great. Got her back to her room and trying to get her back in bed. And it was such a challenge for her to get her leg over into the bed. And I said, well, why don't you try hooking your leg up under your bad leg and bring it over? And because she hadn't had her replacement, she had a nailing. So it was a difference there. But I showed her that and she's like, I've been here 5 days and ain't nobody showed me how to do that. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, she like, that changed her whole aspect of rehab. I mean, she even posted on Facebook, which not for any glory. She said, thank you for Ryan Schaefer, because that completely changed the whole thing. Because that was my biggest trouble, was just getting in and out. But it's just those little things, teaching patients how to do just little adjustments to their life.
It's all different.
Yes, completely different.
Can you discuss adaptive equipment assistive devices that can be beneficial for MSA patients in their daily activities?
Yes, you know, of course, we know wheelchair for long distances, you know, when you can't, or when you're in public and you're having one of those really bad days, you know, when you're walking, using a walker, just a rolling walker. I'm kind of leery on a patient using like what they call a four walker or a rollator. They're nice, they're great, but if you lose control, you're on the floor.
Yeah.
If you don't have, you know, especially like with MSA, you know, there's a delayed response in you know, putting the brakes on and stopping that walker or locking it before they fall. But sometimes if that makes people happy, you know, they're going to use what they want to use. But like a rolling walker, a cane, quad cane, a wide base cane, better, I prefer, because it's going to give you a lot more stability than your just average cane. And, you know, some people don't like to use canes, but they got some pretty cool looking canes out there.
David's got a really neat one.
Really?
Yeah. And just the single tip cane is great and everything, but there'll be a time where you'll need to use a wider base or put like a wider base, whatever they call it, footing on the end of it. Just for safety.
I think he just needs a little monocle and a top hat over there.
Sure. Yeah, man.
I got me an LED changing light, a custom one with like 2 million lights. I got me a one with an anchor, brass anchor on the top, and it's we're going to cruises and stuff like that. And I got my regular old blue one for, you know, everyday life. So,
nice.
You know, my dad had a cane, and I realized because of his progression, it was something completely different. But, you know, he's like, if I'm going to have a cane, I'm gonna have one that I like. You know, he you know, most men his age back in the day were into wood carved canes.
Yes.
Decorative. And he had a couple he absolutely loved, and it made it more appealing to use it in public.
For sure. And people, you know, look at it like, oh, that's a cool cane.
They do. Especially guys. They come up to like, wow. Especially military guys. They come up like, wow. Where did that came from? It's a whole story about it, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Are there any lifestyle modifications or home exercises that you commonly recommend for MSA patients?
Yes. So like with Daisy, I would be like, you know, I tell her to make sure, of course, mobility, but when she is in bed, putting herself in positions of, with like with a hospital bed in like zero gravity position, where it's less pressure on the bottom. As far as like stretching, I recommended putting a rolled up towel or a pillow up under her legs to allow her knees for gravity to push her knees down, so she doesn't have such knees and she can't stand up straight. You know, making sure that if you're using a walker, no rugs in the house.
Yeah.
No rugs. Very easy to catch on. Even with canes, it's very easy. You position furniture in a way that if you needed to use furniture as another thing to kind of walk along, you know, We don't peach. We don't like furniture walking, but if it's there for safety, yes.
You know, you mentioned furniture, and my wife and I were talking about upgrading our bed. I mean, it's a king size, but anyway, I was thinking as we were talking about these really nice mattresses. It's not the mattress that's expensive; it's the machine that like changes the position. But I was thinking, I was like, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know how I'd be able to fit in here with a wheelchair down the road. You know, if we bought something because of the space it consumes.
Yes.
Something, I mean, I'm 44. I mean, something I've never ever thought about thinking about is now it's like, do I have enough room to the couch in case I got a walker in the future, a wheelchair in the bed and bathroom? So right. You know, now those things are coming full circle for me. So yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the furniture part. That's very true.
That's right. And then for like, you know, you want to make sure that you're going to have enough position for room for, if needed, sad to say, a lift or something of that kind.
Yeah, I have the triangle trapeze thing right
Yes,
there.
That's very good. But it is very important that you are trying to not use things like that as a crutch, which I'm not saying that to get on to anything, but it's one of the things I had to learn whenever I was in school. When I was in rehab, I had to learn that I'm one of those people that want to help somebody. Okay. Oh, you can't do it. Well, let me help you get all the way back up. But my clinical instructor, she said, Ryan, she said, the struggle is therapeutic. I said, let them try to do as much as they can to get up out of that bed. If you help them, they'll expect that every time and need that and have that as a crutch. But I had a hard time with it. But with those sometimes I see it's like, and I have a patient, like I have a kid right now, and I tell his mom, I'm like, you know, make sure that you don't help him get up out of bed. He can do it. I've seen him do it. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be beneficial.
I was going to say, Ryan, you always say that you do it. You can do it.
That's right.
But it's true. Today, not yesterday, today went to my wife's, not in this order, but Burger King, Best Buy, Meijer for groceries and came back home and did not use a cane, walking assisted cane at the entire time. Snow and ice, sleet, hell on earth, Chicago drivers. Why? Because like you said, Ryan, if you rely on these crutches in life, it could be anything, but in this case literally a crutch, you know, you don't. I watched a good friend of mine before she passed of heart failure, that she had a hip surgery, a knee surgery, and they kept telling her stop relying on it. She kept putting on her weight on that crutch, you know, I'd see it every day, her crutch, like she was, then she got those wobbling like really bad, and it hurt the other side of her knee, and she had to get that one set up for surgery, and then it hurt her hip too. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, obviously when you need to, but if you've got the mental fortitude to say, hey, I got this, and you do, yes. Yeah, don't use that assisted aid if you don't need to.
Yes, now I do say that, you know, I tell my patients that, you know, especially at home for sure, but public's a different story because yeah. You've got people around you that don't care about anybody but themselves, and they're not going to look to see where they're going. They're going to bump into you and knock you over.
You're but in the floor. Quick.
Yeah. If you have a cane or a walker, you're more than likely going to be okay to not be knocked over. But it's because public is just so different. But whereas at home, you know how the layout is. There's typically not going to be any change. Yes, don't use something that's going to keep you stuck to it, you know, relying on it.
I've got one more. In what ways do you support patients and their caregivers coping with the physical and emotional aspects of living with MSA?
Okay. So this one is pretty dear to me because I've seen it just, you know, it's not really destroy, but just overwhelm a person to such a breakdown. MSA affects the patient and the care and the caregiver of the family. It's not the same, of course. You know, this doesn't compare, but they're caring for you and they want to care for you because they love you. But I make it sure I tell my caregivers, I say, it's important that you get away just even for a little bit. And that doesn't mean that you feel anything towards, you know, the one you're caring for, or that you hate doing what you're doing. But for a mental sake, it's so important to get away for a couple hours, you know, go get groceries, go eat you something, a little something, or go, you know, for ladies, go get your hair done, get your nails done, something like that, just to kind of get your mind cleared and refreshed. But I just recommend that. And it doesn't mean, you know, anything ill towards that person. But if you have somebody that can come in and be there for them to help them, then it's good to get away every now and then. But it's also important to talk about, you know, what you're dealing with on both sides.
Right. Exactly.
Ryan, at what point do you bring family in and be like, you know what? Dave Knox is not listening. He's doing it wrong. I'm about to be beat over the head with a chair. Like, at what point do you even consider, even if you do, involving family in helping you to help them?
Right. Well, you know, there's situations where you have family that isn't involved in any way, which is sad. But then you got people that, you know, person is bringing in their family member. I try to talk to them and I try to say, you know, when I say tell them to stretch, it's like, it's going to hurt, you know, and I tell them, their family member said, tell them, Ryan said it's going to hurt, you know, and they just, you know, they kind of laugh about that, but it's not going to be, stretching is not comfortable for anyone. But I try to let the patients know, like when I tell, like, you know, in Daisy's situation, you know, I tell her caregiver, I tell him, okay, let's make sure that we're propping them ankles up so we can get that stretch in there. Make sure she's moving. I think I told him the other day, let her struggle to get up out of bed. Let her do it. You want to pull, you want to grab her and let her do it, because it's important. Be there, have your hands close just in case, but just, you know, just different things to encourage them that they can help, and they can, just little things, but they got to kind of stand back to and not baby them.
I agree. I was
telling him the other day something to help me stretch my shoulder.
Yes.
Lay behind my back.
Mm-hmm. Doing a pec stretch.
Ryan, is there ever a point where doesn't have to be specific in a say, but is there ever a point where you're like, you know what? I don't know what else we can do for you. Nothing's helping. We're not adding to anything. We're not getting anywhere. I'm making up words here. Is there ever a point where you get to that in the physical therapy world?
Unfortunately, yes. You get a lot of places, situations where you work with certain insurances and they only allow so much per year. But, you know, you can, you know, go over that point if with, you know, explaining the need for it. You know what I mean? If they're showing progression, but yet they still need like balance exercises. They still need to improve this and that so that they can live a better quality of life. But like, you know, I think I had one the other day. I said, you know, it's like, I've been working with them for a little while. And I said, you haven't improved very much since your last progress note. And I think that what little bit left you have, which she was very, very, had come really, really far, full strength, everything. but there were some things that she still had limitations as far as endurance and stuff. But I had to basically tell her that, look, I don't think that there's going to be a big difference for me to continue seeing you. Ethically, you're going to get better with time. It's just want that last little bit of range or that increased range, ability to stand for a little bit longer. It's just going to be with every day doing things. So I have to sometimes have to come to that point and say, you're going to get better with time. It's just going to take time. But you come to see me, though, I love to see you, and I would be thrilled to have you again for another session. Mm-hmm. But is it for, you know, that you're going to get better, or is it just so that it helps, makes you feel better? Because sometimes they come to see me, and that's who they get to talk to, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I asked that part of the question because, you know, when I was doing my original PT with MSA, I was actually working with, I'm going to say this wrong, but don't yell at me too bad, but a physical therapist that was specialized in movement disorders, kind of like neurosis. And I'm not sure what that title is. I can't remember anymore without looking at it. And she did wonderful. I mean, she knew A through Z on Parkinson's. I never say she had no clue to say it. But, you know, she knew Parkinson's. So I was very happy with that. I was relieved. The activities I did were very specific to Parkinsonism and Parkinson's with that. And then, you know, she transferred to another facility. And I go in there and she says, well, we don't have any more physical therapists that are specialized in movement disorders. Therefore, we can't do anything for you. I was like, this is the way it's supposed to, like, can you refer me somewhere else? And they're like,
right.
There's nobody in the whole ecosystem. So, yeah, it was kind of a downheartening that I lost to one person. But I will say, though, she was probably half my size. I joke about my wife being short at 4'10". This lady is from the Philippines, and she was shorter than that. And she always put that belt on me like she was going to catch me if I fell.
Yeah. It worked,
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, I think the goal isn't necessarily to catch you, but to control your fall.
Right.
Help gives you up.
Yeah. And
or there's at least if you go down, lower you to the ground versus you plopping down.
Yeah. And there's some exercises you try to get me to do with the cones and this and that. I'm like, you know,
yes.
I have faith that you're going to help me, but I have no faith that you're going to take, I'm double her weight. You know, it's like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but God bless her for trying, you know?
But honestly, that gait belt is really secure. It makes me feel secure.
It does. But yeah, it's all fun and games. It's just they put me on that half a circle rubber thing.
Yeah, Bosu ball.
Yeah, and they're like, stand on it. And then that's when you see what MSA, how it affects you, because you can't control it. You're spasming everywhere. Ryan, the most important question, are you a Cowboys or Texans fan?
Unfortunately, I'm not even a sports fan. But
Daisy, where'd you get it from?
Right. But if I was going to go for one, it would be Dallas.
So what do you like to do for fun? What's Ryan on a weekend?
Golly, I don't really do a whole lot. I just, a lot of times I'm so tired.
Movies and TV.
Yeah, pretty movies and TV. I go riding on side by side, you know, hang with family. Love my family. I'm big on my family. Like my brother and my sister-in-law live across the street. So I'm always over there hanging out. We'll play, we call it Switch games and Mario Kart and stuff. And it gets pretty competitive. People get mad.
But I can imagine.
I don't get mad. I don't care. But some people get really upset. It's like, you know, just mad. It's like, wow, why don't you shoot me with that shell? Well, it's because that's how you play the game.
That's what it was since the 80s or 90s, right?
That's right.
All right. So I don't want Daisy to influence this next question. Ryan, how do you put up with Daisy in physical therapy?
It is a thrill to, I actually look forward to her coming in. Because
she pays you off. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She's just, I don't know. She brightens her room. She comes in, she's smiling, even when she's having a bad day. But we both talk. You know, one of the things that I say is that I'm not just a physical therapist. I'm a quote unquote mental therapist, a spiritual therapist, emotional therapist, because people talk to me and I listen. I may not have the answer, but I'm like, you know, I try to let them know that I'm there for them. That is so important. I mean, having a connection with the patient instead of being like, okay, do two sets of 10 of this, do three sets of 10 of that, hold that for 30 seconds while I'm over here documenting. I want that patient to know that I'm there for them.
Yeah, people make it feel that way too, Ryan.
I try.
I don't only feel better physically, but I always feel better emotionally when I leave.
Me too.
I had a vision that Ryan was, every time Daisy comes to therapy, Ryan's in the back with like the original Bad Boys movie, like doing a woosah, trying to get it to the zero.
No, not even. Well,
Ryan, you remind me of my the physical therapist I had when I hurt my shoulders again a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Very caring. You got to be in your, you don't have to be in your profession. you don't have to. But, you know, this lady that took care of my shoulders, you remind me of her. And she asked much more than just physical questions. You know, she knew that the MSA, she researched on it. She had no idea what it was. And every day I came in, her question was, what can we do today? Like, how bad is it? And from there, that dictated our procedures we would do. And we talked about more than just their therapy. But yeah, I appreciate you and the work you do. I may joke a little bit on here, but it's people like you that give us a reason to keep going for things like that. Because I've been to plenty of physical therapies my whole life. I'm not lying about this, right? 10 major surgeries, I break and tear everything. But, you know, physical therapy usually ends with pain and more pain. And like, why do I come here for this pain and suffering, you know?
Right. It's hurting enough as it is.
Yeah, it does. And it's persons like you that definitely adapt and show that there's better ways to do things and encouraging and in a loving way. So I definitely want to thank you for coming on here and telling us about it for sure.
Well, thank you.
Ryan's been there for me for the get-go.
How long was it? How long have you been together?
2.5 years.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I was already seeing him before I got my diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for what was to be MSA, you were already seeing him.
Yeah. Right. I was Parkinson's.
Yeah, because at first. Parkinsonism is what it was at first, and so I was treating Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And so, which, you know, you can treat the same way as far as, you know, exaggerated movements and making big movements, you know, and then doing like voice things, loud, yelling, those exercises, basically.
And he's there when I said, I think I'm going to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 2.5 years, I think we need to submit Ryan for a Purple Heart.
Right.
The other question is, how do I put it with him?
Yeah. She discusses you too. She's like, oh man, no, well, nothing bad. She's just,
I got to call and wake him up every morning. I got to nag him and call his wife to like get him busy on the editing.
That's right.
No, I pick on him when I do that. He picks on me right back though. Yeah. Ryan, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your free weekend to come on here and talk with us today. We really appreciate that. I like that I got to see you twice this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I enjoyed it. I thank you very much. I feel privileged. I feel like there's so many more people you could have asked, but I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
We definitely, Ryan, thank you. We definitely like to have you on down the road or at some point, you know, not just if things change, but you're a genuine person with good thoughts. And we didn't possibly ask all the questions we could have asked. So if you like, we'd like to reach out sooner or later and have you back on.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can help somebody from across the way.
That's right.
Well, thanks again, Ryan.
All right, no problem.
We're all MSA Crusaders.
That's right. I got my bracelet on.
There you go. Thank you, Ryan.
All right, bye.